Everybody has a competitive advantage. However, you may not know what that is for you yet. And on this episode, I went on the Win-Win podcast with Chris Ross, and we spoke about the similarities that myself and Chris have between our competitive advantage. And he helped me figure something out that I'd not quite got to grips with before. So in this episode of Impact Schools Podcast, you can expect to discover what it is that allows you to have a unique step above everybody else, even if you don't realize what it is right now. And I found it really interesting discussing with Chris what it takes to go to the next level as an entrepreneur. He has a multiple seven-figure business and actually lives here in the UK as well, although he's from the US. And I share things that I've not shared about before, about how we coach our clients and the methods that we adopt with them when they're tailoring their impact offer. Now, Chris and I are both very, very passionate about emotional intelligence and bettering ourselves. So we dived as well a bit into about how people can tap into their true potential. But for that to happen, they need to address all the things that they're trying to hide, that they need to go deep down into. And furthermore, I covered a lot more about what we're doing at Impact School and what I'm doing better to help myself scale my business and my clients scale theirs. So that's what's happened on today's episode of Impact School's podcast. And so you're going to enjoy this one. I really hope that you hit subscribe if you do enjoy it and tell a friend. And I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm excited just to consistently share content with you. And I really think that this one's going to help you start thinking about how you can get to that next level. So with that said, I hope you enjoy it. Now let's get into today's episode.
Everyone, help me welcome Lauren Tichner to the show. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to just share a ton of value with your people today. So let's do this.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a long time coming to have someone that has such a deep story and so very inspirational. And if people don't know much about you, and they should, you don't really need that much of an introduction, being, you know, one of the top entrepreneurs with, according to Forbes, doing so much, you know, inspirational things with Impact School podcast. You're just very inspirational. Just look at it from, you know, from outside looking in. But when you listen very closely to some of your stories or in some of the videos that you do in your content, there's a deep message there. That's why I'm really excited to have you on. So I thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, I appreciate you. And just before we hit record, it was incredible just sharing that connection that we have, right, with your background, with your sister. I don't know if you've shared that before.
Yeah, I have. Okay. I think that's where I've, you know, define my competitive advantage. And I think that that's something that we share together, and
yes,
we can talk a little bit about that. So I'll kind of give you a little bit more background for the listeners that don't know this. My sister was born handicapped. And when she was, you know, 2 or 3 years older than I was, she was supposed to live until she was 4 years old,
wow,
but she didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Of course. So that was a great thing for her, because I watched her fight her whole life, and she finally passed away around like 17, 18 years old. But when I was in the same crib with her, she was my best friend, pretty much my first friend,
yeah,
you know, and I literally had to watch her breathe through tubes and fight her whole life.
Yeah.
And when I stopped and took a second later on in life and realized that that was a huge pivotal moment, and when I realized that I have no reason, no excuse not to be great, because she couldn't. And I was watching one of your videos and it actually gave me goosebumps.
I have goosebumps right now, massively.
Right?
Yeah.
I saw that video, and it was about your brother's handicap, and because he can't do what he can, you know, what you can do. I mean, we don't get to choose where we're born, you know, if we're a boy or a girl. We don't, if we're out in the world, we can't choose with all the gifts that are just given to us for free. Like, you get a heartbeat, you get a voice. Obviously my voice is a little bit hoarse right now, but I'm still going to push through because my sister couldn't,
mm-hmm,
you know? So share a little bit with the listeners about, you know, that driving force for yourself.
Yeah. So back to what you just said right then, something really interesting that I've sometimes found hard to put into words, and I think you summed it up really nicely, is that You feel that having grown up with your sister and seeing her breathe through tubes and all of that, being handicapped is your competitive advantage. And I never really knew how to put it into words, right? Because I know that I have this drive because, like your sister, my brother's disabled. So he has epilepsy, autism, various other learning disabilities. He is in a wheelchair and he needs like 2-on-1 care at all times. And he is fed through a tube, like he doesn't talk. He says a few words, like, for example, my mum phoned me yesterday and it was so sweet because he had been saying to my mum all day, where's Lauren, where's Lauren? But because he's autistic, he'd been like repeating it like again and again and again. So we went on FaceTime. And then when I was there, he didn't say anything because he can't, but he obviously was thinking, you know, where's Lauren? Because he hasn't seen me for months because of this whole quarantine. And then, so with that, I remember just when I was younger, people around me, we would walk along the street and he'd be in his wheelchair and they'd just be like looking at us, giving us these evil looks. And it made me so angry. I was like, I can't change anything. Why are you looking at him? You know, he's another human being. Why are you looking at him this way? And so ever since I was young, because he's only 2 years younger than me, but ever since I was young, I've always had this, just everyone is equal, you know?
And right, so right.
I don't understand all of this stuff, you know? Whatever race you are, whatever gender, whether you're disabled or not, I don't understand. I just don't understand why people think differently about it. I don't get it. And that's from having seen my brother like that. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with it being the competitive advantage because seeing someone who can't act how they want to act, it's like whenever you feel like you don't want to do something, guess what? You're going to show up and make it happen.
Right. And you touched on so many beautiful things that I hope the listeners caught on to. I'm going to touch on one thing if I can, because I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly. The one piece of, you know, having my sister out in public, I remember this when I was a kid. And people would stop and just look and laugh or scoff or whatever, right? And it I'm not talking about like boils my blood, infuriates me, but I've learned to look at it differently now. Is that, you know, that type of experience that I had as a kid, it makes me want to give you a front row seat to my success and give you popcorn and watch me be successful. Like, you know, fuck you, excuse my language, but, you know, like do what you gotta do. You know, like you can laugh all you want and do what you're going to do. Because I grew up in a world where I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I didn't grow up with a lot of opportunity, but I grew up with a good family. It taught me all the small things like being, you know, work ethic, you know, morals, character. You know, it's all about what you do. The situation and events don't define you. Your character defines you. You are you.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful the way that you. You know, you talked about that of having that type of experience that I pull from that every day, every single day. It's not a day that goes by that I don't draw from that type of motivation. And it just gives me a burst of energy.
And by the way, I have a brand new training that you have not seen before. And it's all about the things that allowed me to get featured by Forbes as a top 10 entrepreneur helping others scale to 7 figures. So I share the things that help you scale to 7 figures in this training. So go to newonlinecoach.com/ranked and you can get instant access to that training right now. That is newonlinecoach.com/ranked and get access now. Even if you're not an online coach or even if you're not new, this is just the domain we're using, okay? We're changing it all over to Impact School too. So don't let the domain put you off. Go to newonlinecoach.com/ranked. Get instant access to this training now. And I hope you're enjoying this episode of Impact School's podcast. And if you are, make sure to hit subscribe, whatever podcast provider you're listening to this on.
Like, especially as an entrepreneur, that's the thing about, you know, as in you influence so many people out there, you know, and through social media and through different channels, we can talk more about that. Wes, for the listeners, is there anything that you really want to bring up and hope the listeners that really grasp just from the beginning of this show? This is going to be a phenomenal show, I can tell already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, of course, getting into all of Lauren's success and everything that she's doing and, you know, how she's getting herself out there, that's a great part. But I think where, you know, it's that driving force of that competitive advantage and motivating factor. I mean, there's so much to learn from that alone. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of, for us, you know, when we're trying to speak to the listeners, it's you know, we're trying to enable them to be able to figure out what is their competitive advantage, what is their driving force, because for everyone it's different. You know, but pain, I believe, is one of the biggest driving forces that you can possibly have. And so, Lauren, if you can touch on how has that impacted you? Like, you've done so much, and I know that you are, you know, a young woman, and so, and you've done so much in your time. And so with that motivating factor, that driving force, how has that led you to kind of where you are today? Like, has there been certain pivotal moments that you're like, this is that driving force allowed you to kind of get through to get to where you are now?
Well, I think the thing is with our personal unique competitive advantages is that oftentimes we don't realize that they are special until many, many months or years later. And so all throughout my childhood, having a disabled brother was something that I resented, right? My friends would all be able to go skiing on vacation. We couldn't do that because my brother couldn't possibly ski. You know, he's in a wheelchair. All my friends would be going to these luxury locations. We couldn't go because these places didn't have good hospitals. And so as a child, you know, walking along the street, being laughed at by people staring at us, I hated it. But guess what that's built up for me? That has built crazy resilience, you know? Right. Now I can walk along the street being an absolute weirdo, and I can be on social media saying whatever the heck I want, and I do not care what people think about me. I often get asked on podcasts, like, hey, Lauren, when you were younger and you were starting out on social media, you know, how were you not afraid about what people thought about you? And for sure I was to a degree, but I kept going because I had gone through all of that. And then when I was about 15, 16, I was called Mackie D's because I was marginally overweight for my height. And then all of these things make you who you are. But
was it Mackie D's? What is it?
Mackie D's, like McDonald's.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I was like going through puberty. I had like a shiny right. forehead and all that. And it's like,
but everyone goes through an ugly phase at one point when you're children, right? It's
that's what I'm saying. Phase. And so I think just backtracking a little bit, like I really believe that everybody has these little things from their past that have been a negative scenario, which if they were able to address it, if they just looked at it, even if it's hard, even if it hurts, even if it makes them feel uncomfortable at that time, if they look back and start to think, okay, what actually happened here? How did it affect me? And how has that caused the trajectory of my life to be different than what it would have been if it had never happened? And then you can use those things as fuel to move you forward. So going back to your question, how do I feel that this has shaped me? I mean, is everything, right? Because whenever I feel like I'm struggling, I just think my brother can't do this, so I have to do it, you know? And similarly, he hasn't been able to live a life of freedom. And so I feel kind of this sense of this weight on my shoulders. It's not, but I don't see it as a weight, right? I see it as like, right, I need to live his life for him. And while that may sound like kind of heavy, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm grateful that I get to do that, you know? I get to have these experiences on behalf of him. And right, so I'm doing it, like, for him, you know?
You touched on something as you get to. Like, I say this a lot. I said, I don't have to do what I do for a living. I could probably hang it up for the investments that I've made. I've made some smart choices, you know, over the past couple of years. But I get to do what I do. Yeah. I get to do what I do. I love what I do for a living. If I just can reach one person and let them know, like, listen, you don't have to live in this freaking nightmare, man, or girl, you don't have to live there. Like, you're gonna have to, for you to be able to tap into your true potential and maximizing all your talents, whatever that is for you, and living a better quality of life. And if it means you making 100K a year or 50 million, that's whatever that is for you. You can do whatever you want because it starts, but you have to address all the things that you're trying to hide from public.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't run away. That shit's gonna follow you your whole life. Until I was able to go deep inside of my core and realize that, listen, I need to remove this and re-anchor these emotions and put something positive here and change in my perspective. Once I did that, Lauren, like, I became whole as an entrepreneur, whole as a business person, whole in my personal life. And I've had to keep doing this year after year, and it starts with my own thoughts. that takes a lot of courage and a lot of vulnerability and being vulnerable. And I think it was when I, you know, my daughter was born. I think that's when a huge point for me, because a pivotal point is I had to go back and re-anchor some other shit that I was dealing with. Because when you get angry, it stems from fear, doesn't it? You're scared of something. So ask yourself the tough questions. I mean, is that some of the things that you go over in some in your impact school, the business that you own and you have a free trial with? And can you talk a little bit to listeners about that?
Yeah, so for us, I mean, building your own business and becoming an entrepreneur, business owner, I think at different stages, there's sort of like these points where it either makes or breaks you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when people are first starting out, I find that the thing that is going to make or break them is caring about what people think about you, right? Then when you get to maybe like 40K per month, I think the thing that makes or breaks you is your ability to let go of control, right? And then beyond that, I'd say there's another sticking point at around like 80 to 90 grand a month, which is whereby it's like you need to work on your inner game, your relationship with money, your just you as a whole, your relationships with other people, and how you show up as a human being. Because at the end of the day, I just find it so, these sticking points, I see it all the time with so many people. It's always these certain numbers, you know? And that's been really interesting for me, because I never realized how important this deep personal work was. I used to be one of those people, I'm like, I'll do as many hours as I need to, I'm gonna hustle, all that like Gary Vee type of stuff, you know? Because I have that type of energy, right? Because I love what I do. But now I've realized that doing more isn't gonna equal more output, and it's probably actually gonna get worse, because then what happens? What happens when I start to overwork? Well, I know that when I overwork, I have less energy to create content, which means that I'm putting out less value on social media. If I overwork, then I show up as not the type of leader that I want to be for my team. And so I may snap more than I should. Similarly, I start to oversleep, and then I start to look at myself and not like how I am. And that's a really dangerous downward spiral. And so
that's where a lot of entrepreneurs suffer from imposter syndrome. Is because they hit a certain level of success, and they are not able to sustain that type of level or peak performance. Mm-hmm. And knowing what to do in those moments, like when I very first started, you know, making the revenue and the capital that I was starting to make, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. But what really helped me is making a lot of money and then losing a little bit of it, and then reaching out for help because I didn't know how to structure my organization, structure deals. I learned less is more in certain types of situations. I would much rather take a piece of your stock or a piece of your company rather than you paying me income, because I need to get rid of that income somehow and investing into other opportunities, because I don't want to get killed by tax, right? So there's so many things when it comes to entrepreneurship that people don't tell you, because they're not going to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is how the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. Is you gotta. It's not about the Gary Vee stuff, and you know Gary Vee, which is a phenomenal content.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not discrediting him at all.
Of course. What I'm saying is that's the motivation piece
to get started.
You got to find whatever that is for you and take that and draw from that to be able to use it as your reserve bank of energy, I guess.
Yeah, I think.
And then especially like when you're first starting out, like when you need all of those motivating factors,
exactly.
Right? You need that. That's what you, and as you go on, like when we reach certain levels of our success, it's like, okay, you're thinking more objectively about what needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? And because motivation only goes so far.
Yes.
Right. At some point, you just have to become the person that can take on that level of, you know, success, essentially. And so for you, Lauren, you know, when you're working with people that are coming in to your impact school, obviously you probably use a lot of your story, right, to be able to relate with people and help them. But how are you taking them through those stages? Like, what's the first thing you're really working with them on? As if they're coming in and saying, yeah, I want to get to this point in my business, what are you looking for in that person?
Yeah, so we have found that to get to your first, to a point where your business is started online, because we help people create service-based online businesses, specifically coaches and consultants, right? So sometimes people will come to us, and you know when someone's like, maybe they are a consultant, you know, they run, maybe they're an agency. and they're doing everything for someone, we help them create a done with you model. So for example, like a coaching slash a consulting offer where it allows them to get their time back rather than them constantly doing that one-on-one, very like personal work. So that might be someone who comes to us. Similarly, it might be a personal trainer who wants to build an online business. I started out in the fitness industry. I was never actually an in-person PT. I went straight into online fitness coaching. Honestly, not because I'm a lazy person, but because I don't really like leaving my house. I'm kind of like, I'm not an introvert. It's weird. I'm not an introvert, but I kind of am. I think it's called like an ambivert. I've heard of that word. I don't know. But I'm one of those people where like, I just want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And so that's why I started out online.
Oh my gosh, I feel like she's like, it's a girl version of myself. Like I'm an introvert, extrovert. I'm a very social person growing up.
Yeah.
Like a social butterfly. Now that I've gotten older or reaching a certain level of success, like I don't want to do things that I don't want to do. Like I'm just like, I would much rather be able to work and read a book or work on certain things to actually make an impact in my life and actually I enjoy rather than doing it for other people. So when I stop doing things for other people, that amiable type of personality, want everybody to feel good, like, you should come out here. I'm like, yeah, no, I should. I should stay home, mm-hmm. You know? But I don't know, maybe that's so funny that you talked about that.
Yeah, well, no, I hear you because like, I guess I really realized how much I like doing my own thing.
Right.
Was when I was actually working in asset management. But look, I'm not going to get into that. I worked there for like pretty much a year. I hated every moment. It sucked. I was right opposite the gym. And I could see it right just down. I'm a fitness freak. For anyone who's listening, I'm a fitness junkie. Like I love working out. And so that's why I started in the fitness industry. And again, that's provided me with that discipline in my business, you know? But anyway, so sort of like backtracking a bit. So we found that when people just sort of first need to get started, usually in this industry, the coaching slash consulting space, what they're missing is a high ticket offer. You know what I mean? Like they don't have a high ticket offer. They don't have a consistent and predictable way to bring in new leads. And they're really bad at sales, right? They think that they can just send an email saying, hey, it's going to be $200 a month. And then someone's going to reply back. And you know what? It's like, I'm not even going to get into it because we would be here.
That's a whole other episode right there.
That is like 10 episodes and so much more. And so it really comes down to those first group of people. The main thing they're missing is strategy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of course, we do mindset work with them. And that's why we give them consistent personal coaching. But for the people at the beginning stages, they need a strategy to follow, to execute, because I seriously believe in the competency cycle, right? The more competent you get, so the better at something you get, the more confident you get, because confidence comes with success, you know what I mean? And
yes.
So if you can get better at something and actually see results, then you're going to feel confident about it, and it just all spirals upwards. And so we kind of like to lay out the strategy for people so that they can follow, execute, and win. Now, for our higher level program, we sort of do like a concierge service type of thing. That's when we really will, as soon as someone comes in, the first thing that we do before we like turn the clock on with their actual coaching is we make them do a full-on business audit so that we can identify where they're missing opportunity. And then from there, what we do is we assign them different projects as and when they need them. Because here's the thing that I see with a lot of online coaching slash consulting models, and I kind of created this, and I think this is a big lesson for the listeners, okay? Oftentimes, you are your best client. So where were you a few months ago, a few years ago? What would you have needed that would have solved your problem? I was looking for a mentor or a coach, but all I could find was these cookie cutter programs, kind of more for people who are just wanting to first get started or just to learn a specific skill, which makes sense, right? Because, you know, if you're teaching sales, you're going to create a course about sales. If you are teaching online coaching, you're normally going to teach people how to get started with online coaching. And so I didn't really find anything that would actually give my business a full on, you know, audit and what I needed as and when I needed it. And so I kind of created that for people who were in that phase where they were really ready to scale.
That's good.
Then
it's really important that you built something for that's very specific model.
Yes, exactly.
That's the missing ingredient I see in a lot of these cookie cutter programs. Mm-hmm. And I've been around the block a lot, especially when it comes to education. And this is what Wes and I do for companies. We go inside of companies and corporations and realign their sales process because their sales or lack thereof in a lot of cases. People always tell me they're good in sales until I ask them three or four questions. And I'm like, holy shit, you know nothing about sales.
Oh my gosh, I love
nothing.
It.
Nothing. You know nothing about what I do. You know, so I love it because you have different, you know, eras of sales. And we're in an information stage right now where people can access information so quickly. It's a digital world, you know. But you have to understand you're not selling a product. You need to first identify what they're lacking. Where's the problem?
Where do they need to get to? What's the outcome? Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it's all about the outcome, right? What outcome do they want to reach? And this is where so many people go wrong, because not only are they missing it when they're delivering results to people, but also in their sales and marketing. Because if you don't have a clearly defined outcome, then what's going to end up happening? You're going to start telling people, hey, I'm going to give you 2 Zoom calls a week, and I'm going to give you this online course. No one cares. Like, people don't want they don't want the drill, they want the hole. Have you heard that? You know, when someone's like putting up a painting? I love that. And it's so bloody true. And so, yeah, I think like when it comes to cookie cutter programs, right? There are certain levels where you need that type of thing and it could be a good fit. But I don't think that, for example, I'm just thinking about like for our clients who want to start online coaching/consulting, right? There's a very specific thing that they need to do that. But if we just left them to their own devices and just gave them an online course, we've actually found that it's like 30% of people, out of everyone, they only complete like 30% of the program. And so, I mean, I don't know about you, but like I want people to complete 100% of it, and I want 100% of people to complete 100%, which is why I think it's really important for people to have that like personal hands-on help as well.
The personal hands-on help, walk me through, what does that look like exactly?
Well, it depends again which sort of like level of service people are getting help with, right? But ultimately, I found that when it comes to getting results, the best thing for people starting out is like a group-based model. Now, I didn't used to like that because, I mean, when I've been in programs in the past, it had kind of annoyed me, whereby it's like these specific times show up then and then. But I found that doing the group-based model, I was actually doing some calls yesterday with some of my team who are coaching the clients, and they were showing me video recordings of what the clients have been saying about the group-based model, and they really liked it because they liked that they had heard what the other clients were saying about their businesses, and they were getting ideas and all of these different types of things. And I was like, oh, that's very true. But then, as well as that, I think people need one-on-one help, you know? So like submitting their work, getting feedback on it, kind of like at school, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like homework and just go, but obviously instead of homework, it's actually going to be something that generates your revenue.
That's one of the reasons for that. I do something very similar when you're looking at group meetings.
Yeah.
Like group meetings, I can do trainings and it's very general. And it's, but I'm still bringing a certain level of value there. And that's my way of weeding out the ones that aren't serious about their future. And I pulled the ones to the side that potentially have a need, a want, desire, showing me attitude. They have a great attitude. They're showing me a lot of effort. If they're showing me those two things and they have all the other little components of being successful, then I'll pull them to the side and have that one-on-one attention. Mm-hmm. So something very similar. There's nothing wrong with it. I get what you're saying about, you know, you really didn't like it at first because you want to be able to serve, because when you have something to say, you want to help everybody, don't you? It's one of the things that we have problems with of not turning it off.
yeah, that's it. Exactly. I think like for us, what we found is, you know, what we do is we kind of came up with this, we call it an impact offer, right? Which is whereby we get our clients and we do it ourselves to create, you know, a product, aka an offer, which takes them to a specific outcome. But then in order to get to that outcome, it's not just an online course. It's an online course, which is like the A to Z. And then there's consulting, you know, which is like the personal help, aka giving them their personal action plans and then also reviewing their work. And then the coaching, which is like the support and guidance to make sure that they're actually sticking to the course.
Beautiful.
And so that's the impact offer. And so that's what we do for our like beginning level clients who just want to get started. But then the people that want to scale, as I mentioned, it's like personal business audit will only give them projects as and when they need them. Because here's the thing, sometimes people get really excited about, okay, I really want to run Facebook ads, right? But they're already sat on an email list of like 1,000 people that they haven't even tapped into. Yeah, exactly. Well, or you can just go send out some campaigns to your email list, get them over into your messenger. We're massive with messenger, and then hire a team to be dealing with your messenger so that you can focus on the sales calls, something like that. It depends on who the person is. And so
right.
I think like this is where business is so sequential that if you have people coming in at all different levels, unless they're at the very beginning, like we have with our beginning level clients, from there, then you can't just be giving everyone the same thing. They need that hands-on support, you know?
Right. With that hands-on support, and I know that Wes probably has tons of questions with this. I can see his head turning and his ears turning right now. But I wanted to touch on this just real quick because I think it's important for the listeners to understand. For people like us having something similar happen to us, you know, with something so deep and personal at a very young age and watching something like that and help taking that on and defining our competitive advantage and not accepting anything less than the best from ourselves every single day because we have it, we get to do what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't, so we get to.
Yeah.
How much of that do you maybe roll over with your students or people you're working with individually that do deserve your time? And you say, you know what, Lauren, I can't do this. Does that burn you inside as much as it does me? I'm like, you can
do anything you want to. You can't do it for everyone because your time is limited. Time is only non-renewable resource. But how much does that come into play within your own, I guess, approach?
If you can't do something or if you think that you can't do something, it's not that you actually physically can't. Ultimately, it's that you have something in your head that's holding you back. And right. I've identified this from watching my brother because he physically can't do something, right? Whereas if I feel like I physically can't run a marathon, you know, for sure, I might start and I might get going and then I might injure myself and not be able to do it physically, you know, which can happen, which did happen to me. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I find that clients are coming to me saying, Lauren, I can't do this, I know that it's not that they are being lazy necessarily. Oftentimes it's that they have their own mental garbage going on that they need to deal with. And so at that point, it's addressing that. And so you maybe can't do it yet, right? Just put yet on the end, deal with your mental garbage, and then you'll be able to move forward.
That's a very powerful word. It's only three letters, is yet. Mm-hmm. You put yet on it behind anything, that already lets you know that you're going to accomplish it. You just haven't found the right way.
The two words, found the right. There's two. Right. I can't do it yet, and then I get to do it. Yet and get.
Right.
They rhyme.
Right.
There we go.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's beautiful. Wes, yeah, I mean, what? Go ahead. I know that you have your tons of questions that you need to get for the listeners as well, because I saw that your gears were turning, but forgive me for not, I really need to address that because a lot of people don't understand that it's their own shit that get in the way of their own success completely.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And actually, that's actually where I was going to go with it is because back when I did coaching like that with businesses or people who are not usually like people, just entrepreneurs trying to become entrepreneurs or becoming coaches, one thing that I saw that they faced a lot of was that, well, one, getting them to actually commit to doing what, you know, they're supposed to do. And so you kind of touched on that as far as them being blocked. So kind of a two-part question. The first one is, one, how do you get someone to commit to going through this process and staying on track? And then the second part of that, when do you know, like, how do you make sure that you end that relationship? Because at some point, they've invested with you, that relationship has to come to an end unless they're going to keep investing with you. How do you get that client to understand that you need to commit to getting this done, and then this is kind of the end point? I think that would be really helpful for listeners.
When it comes to commitment, to making sure that you're showing up to doing something that ultimately you know you want to do, I think it really is about knowing why you want to do it. And so if you know what your motivating factor is, and if you make sure that every single day you're reminding yourself of that, then I think you're going to follow through. So what we do with our clients is we have them go through this mindset training before they get started. And it helps them identify the type of person that they want to be. Because ultimately, the type of person that you want to be, well, you already are them. I read this book called The Chimp Paradox. They talk how you already are the person you want to be. The only difference between you right now and the type of person that you want to be is the fact that your chimp is hijacking you. That's what the book says.
Right.
And so it's all about making sure that you can get rid of that chimp. So every single day you can show up to be the type of person that ultimately you want to end up being. And so I think habits and routine allow you so much freedom. And while they may sound restrictive, they are the best thing that can possibly happen to you and for you, right? They happen for you. Because what ends up happening is if every day you know that you get to wake up at 5 a.m. so that you can start working on all this stuff that is going to move you forward and get you closer to your goal, and if you can turn that into a habit, and it's just something that you do every single day because you can, then it will become something that is just so ingrained in your identity. And so I think in order to ensure that people are committing to the outcome that they signed up for originally with your coaching or your consulting, well, the biggest thing is that you shift and change their identity. And that's the hardest thing to do. And so that's why it really comes down to this mindset work and these habits. And so you may have heard people say that habits take 21 days to form. That's not true. It's the number of times that you do it. So if you're consistently doing something, then you will change your identity. Just like how I used to be overweight when I was younger, right? Was I the type of person who ever thought that I'd be a fitness person? No, I hated fitness. I never would have thought, never in a million years, that I would become ultimately an online fitness coach and now help other people build online coaching businesses, with a lot of them being fitness coaches. I never would have thought that would actually have been possible, but I changed my identity to say, I am a healthy person. I am someone that goes to the gym, and I essentially wrapped my vision on myself in being that. And so through then, I mean, I got like 3 new pairs of Adidas trainers down there because I just bought them. Sorry, should I say Adidas? And it's like everything I do is like I am just like a fitness person, you know what I mean? And so but I never thought that would have been the case. And only through changing my identity did I able to change my commitment to something. Similarly, when starting my business, I saw myself becoming a successful entrepreneur. I wasn't a successful entrepreneur yet at all. But it really started for me through getting in a community of people who were. And I wasn't part of that community yet, right? Yet. I followed them. I consumed their content. I learned from them and I implemented what they were doing. So it really comes down to finding someone who's in a position where you want to be, emulating what they're doing, or simultaneously doing everything you can to change your identity to be more like the vision of yourself where you want to get to. And so how do you change your identity? You change your habits and you change the things that you surround yourself with.
So for you, Lauren, I mean, what kind of, like when you're working with a client, what are some of those habits that you can share with the listeners that, you know, changing them allows you to be able to get that clarity or get that, you know, get to where you want to go?
I think that everyone is very, very different. Okay. Now it can be really, it's so different. Okay. But here's a couple of examples, because I think that a big reason why people don't get to where they want to get to is because they aren't able to stick to doing something that they say they're going to do. For example, let's say you're someone who overeats at night, and every single day you say in the morning, I'm not going to overeat tonight, and then you do it. And then you wake up in the morning, say, I'm not going to overeat tonight, and then you do it. Well, essentially, you're lying to yourself every day because you say you're not going to do it, and then you end up doing it, which means that there's this disconnect between the type of person you want to be and the type of person that you're being, and also you're not staying true to yourself, right?
Right.
Every single day you're lying to yourself, which means that when you commit to other things in your life,
you know that, oh, if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. You're going to wake up in the morning again and say that you'll give it a go again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And while I think it's a nice idea to want to be able to give it a try again tomorrow and give yourself that grace, ultimately, if you keep doing it, that's when it just becomes a bad habit. You know what I mean? And so I think it really does come down to identifying for you what are the things that when you wake up the next morning, you look back on the day before and say, oh, I did that bad thing again. And mm-hmm. I guess saying bad is a bad word for that. It's just a maybe what are the things that you're doing that aren't moving you forward or that you're maybe like regretting a little bit. And so
right, absolutely. And so, and because so one question I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on as well is a lot of times with habits, like for example, like you talked about overeating at night. I used to have the same habit. So what I started doing was right after dinner, so I eat dinner right around 6 p.m., I would go through and I brush my teeth. I would do all that, right? Because now it's like, because I don't, you know, I don't want to have to go and do all that again, right?
Yeah.
So how much is kind of changing habit has to do with not allowing, you know, not trying to just rely on willpower, but setting an environment for yourself.
Oh, it's everything.
For you to be able to change those habits.
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, I think that's why it really is a case of, is this whole identity shift, you know? If right now you're working in a full-time job and you're kind of happy, maybe you're kind of complacent, which I think happens to a lot of people. They get complacent because they don't know what they're missing out on, because opportunity cost is the biggest cost of it all. But people don't realize that because they aren't living what could be. They're living what is, which means
a lot of it's exposure. A lot of it's exposure. Once you're exposed to something new or something different, then you're like, holy shit, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
I can't go back now.
Yep, that's exactly it. And so I think it's a story. I forgot what your original question was, but yeah, I agree.
It was beautiful because I think that's where a lot of people don't understand how can they realign and not having a negative habit or self-sabotage. I mean, how much self-sabotage do you, I mean, when you're lying to yourself, that's what's really happening. You're trying to hide it from somebody or suppress it. Some way down the road, you're going to have to come to terms with who you really are. And don't let it define you. Even if you've done some bad things in your past and you talked about the bad things, you know, like you're eating or it could be anything in your life, whatever, you have to address it and own it. Like own that shit and forgive yourself first. That's the only way you're going to heal.
Mm.
Only way. And once you're able to take that on wholly, you can be impactful for other people. Because I see a lot of these, I wouldn't say, I don't want to call them fake entrepreneurs, I guess entrepreneurs out there, that it's a facade. They're trying to be somebody they're not, and they're not. They're trying to be, I guess you would say, come across a certain way with their image that they're that successful. And the more that I meet these people, it actually motivates me to do what I do in a capacity that I do it. It literally drives me insane. But I know that this conversation can go on forever. And, you know, I know that you have a lot to do today. And Wes, you know, we're so happy to have you on. I'm very fortunate and very grateful. For the most part, like, how can our listeners find more about you and, you know, find more about your Impact School, you know, podcast? I mean, you know, you pretty much just Google, or I think you probably know everything you need to. But how can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so Impact School is the name of the podcast. So it's IMPACT and then School, SCHOOL. And so that's probably the best place. If you're listening to a podcast, definitely go check that one out. And then, yeah, whatever platform you like the best, just head over to that one, type in Lauren Tickner, and then just drop me a message to let me know that you tuned in here. But I also think it could be really, really cool. I love hearing what people's biggest takeaway was. So maybe for everyone listening to this, I'm guessing you're probably also trying to make sales, build a brand, whatever. So I'm guessing you post to social media. Even if not, then one thing that could be cool is just make a story, right? Let us know what your biggest takeaway was, because then you're sharing value with your people, right? Tag us. So again, mine's just Lauren Tickner. And then I'll be sure to share it, because I love knowing what people's biggest takeaway was from a podcast episode. And similarly, then you're more likely to remember something if you try to teach it back to your audience. And so I think then at that point, it'll be really, really valuable for both you, your audience, and then obviously we can share it as well. So you'll get in front of our audiences too.
I think that's really important in what you just said, because a lot of people, they don't, they say they want feedback, but they only want the good feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to own both of it as an entrepreneur, or even if you're in your own personal brand. I want to know, I mean, it's all about developing the right amount of value for your listeners, audience, whoever's following you, but just kind of live by the code of doing things the right way. And that thing, that's where, you know, of course, that's what the name of the podcast is the win-win effect. It's both sides. I mean, if the customer's not winning, the buyer's not winning, if they're not winning, then we're not winning. But you have to win on both sides, and understanding you're doing it morally and ethically and goes in with your core values. For just to wrap up and put a bow on this, this is a beautiful episode for the listeners, and I hope you guys got a lot of value from this. Like, what are you inspired by these days? Like, just leave the listeners with that. Like, what kind of topic or idea or person you're kind of fascinated by that drives you now?
Yeah, so right now I'm really obsessed with learning how to acquire businesses. So that's okay. What I'm learning about at the moment. I think for me, that really is the next step. So that's sort of like a big thing. And then a little thing, copywriting. I love copywriting. I don't know what it is. Like, I just, is a weird obsession. So I think, like, if I was doing something different, I'd probably be, you know, those like really nerdy copywriters who you just see doing all these seminars, like these kind of, they're normally old men. Like, that is literally me in another life.
Yeah, the copywriters today do the same thing. It's like cookie cutter. We had a copywriter at one point, and then we went through a couple different ones. And I looked at Wes one day, and I was like, man, I'm a better copywriter than this shit. This is awful, you know? And
me too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's probably my secret talent. I can't lie, but that's because I've been writing Instagram captions since I was 16 years old. Like, you know what I mean? So I've been doing it for just so long, and yeah.
That's something that we can definitely have a conversation about later. I'm sure that, you know, you're obviously, you being in London, we'll meet up, have a cup of coffee or something, you know, soon.
Yes.
And, you know, Wes, I mean, anything that we missed out, I mean, this is a great episode for the listeners.
Absolutely. No, so just fast. Just to remind all the listeners, follow Lauren. It's Tickner, TickNer. Follow her on any platform that you like. So, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's been awesome.
And there we have it. Now, I have some very, very, very in-depth content coming out soon on things like the business model that you should be using, on the lead generation strategies that we use here at Impact School that I've never shared before. I'm even going to be doing a 3-part training on it. And there will be an entire registration page for that somewhere soon. I don't have it ready yet. So you're going to have to make sure that you've hit subscribe on the podcast and that you stay tuned on social media. Now, if you've enjoyed this, I also want to give early access to a few people. So take a screenshot of this and share it on your stories, because for a few of the people who share it, I'm going to give them early access to those trainings so they can watch it and get access before everybody else. So take a screenshot, put it on Instagram stories or on LinkedIn, tag me, Lauren Tickner. I'll share it as well, so you'll get in front of my audience. And with that said, if you're one of those people, I'll give you early access to this content on how to attract dream clients to you. So I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you in the next episode of Impact School's podcast and in the DMs. All right, see you later. Bye.